X-Men, meet the X-Men, it's our modern mutant family. Welcome back to The Comixologist with our special edition of Age of Apocalypse / X-Men Apocalypse. It's Slim and Kazam, and we got thoughts about these things.
Let's refresh our dear friends of the show. We talked about Age of Apocalypse way back when.
I decided arbitrarily to commit to reading the entirety of Age of Apocalypse in advance of seeing X-Men Apocalypse.
Which, knowing full well that the story really didn't take into account in the movie. I mean, like, didn't really.
I didn't know that.
I could have sworn I mentioned that.
Okay.
So maybe you read 3,000 pages.
It was 1,500.
Oh, right? Close enough.
2,000? I don't know. I read whatever was in the complete Age of Apocalypse. Marvel had a prologue and then four volumes, and I read all of them.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
This is the first time you've gone into the X-Kives since Chuck Austin. Didn't you read like Chuck Austin's run of X-Men?
I read and loved Chuck Austin's run / soap opera.
Which I'm intrigued by because most X fans didn't like that run, but yet you did.
And it was all character stuff. Wacky character stuff.
With Age of Apocalypse, I think X fans love. It's beloved in X fan lore.
Yeah.
Let's set the stage for what Age of Apocalypse, the comic book, is. The 90s. Set the stage. You're in the 90s.
All you need to know is that it's the 90s, and that explains all of it.
And let's picture myself. Maybe I don't remember what year it was. Yeah, I'm riding my bike over to Claude's Comics in Hatboro, and I'm reading Wizard Magazine, and Wizard Magazine says the X-Men titles are getting canceled. It's over. It's the end. And I'm crying.
It's already an apocalypse.
I'm crying with Claude the dog. The shop is named after the dog, Claude.
Aw.
But in actuality, X-Men, the main titles, there's like five or six of them, they're being put on hiatus because something is happening in the story where they're going into an alternate timeline for 4 months. So they're getting like a limited series to replace it. So I think X-Men was replaced by Amazing X-Men.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and the rest. So Age of Apocalypse starts off this mega event, biggest X-Men event ever. It's in every title, and that's what you read.
It was a lot. As someone whose only real knowledge of the X-Men comes from kids' books from the 90s that I read growing up, and then, of course, the X-Men movies, and then that one run that I read. So limited knowledge of the minutiae of these characters going in.
And the main gist of the story is Legion, Charles Xavier's son, wants to go back in time to kill Magneto for all his crimes against humanity.
And then Charles saves Eric's life, and everything is just thrown out of whack.
Because he kills his own father back in time. So what does that mean for the X-Men? What does that mean for the world?
It means great hair for everyone, is what I learned.
So now the Age of Apocalypse storyline is a world without Charles Xavier. What would that world look like?
And in that world, dude named Apocalypse, who's apparently like the first mutant or whatever, I don't know, he's got fish lips, he looks weird, and he just is like, I'm gonna take over the world now. And he has these four horsemen of Apocalypse, and they've all got like really 90s character names and designs, and everything's just really like extreme. And like, whoever was drawing these was definitely drinking Surge at the time. And so it's like Magneto's organizing the X-Men in this reality, and he's married to Rogue, and they have a kid.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor Gambit.
And I know, the poor baby. And he's just like hiding in trees, like getting in fights with people and just going off saving the world on the other side of the galaxy. We're getting ahead of ourselves. This thing is going to be full of spoilers, P.S. Mm-hmm. for both film and comic.
Yeah.
There were definitely parts of the Age of Apocalypse storyline where I was like, what is happening? And then other parts where I was like, I'm so invested. Why am I so invested in this? And it was a lot of, you know, like learning about characters and seeing a really extended run of Marvel comics from a decade that I'm not super familiar with from that publisher to begin with. So seeing characters that I know now from like current runs and getting in, on in the mid 2000s, mm-hmm. Like, I only really started reading Marvel comics after the Avengers movie came out. So anything before that, I'm like, meh, that happened.
Right.
So this was a real dive down nostalgia lane, I guess, for, but not for me, because
faux nostalgia.
Faux nostalgia. But yeah, I had a lot of fun live tweeting my experiences.
Hashtag Age of Kazan if anyone wants to read them.
I had a lot of fun live tweeting this because I was like, what is happening? Why is everyone's hair so good? Cyclops has this amazing long hair. And he only has one eye, so his name actually befits him for once. And he and his brother are, like, working for Apocalypse because they were raised that way. And they're like, yeah, we're, like, doing our jobs and stuff. Yeah, and Havok's, like, a real jerk, but, like, in a way that's really endearing to me. But Cyclops, I just...
Is it because he's a bad boy?
I don't know. I don't know. And... I felt like this storyline was long, but because it was so long, you really did have a lot of time to explore different character motivations and like where the characters are coming from. Wolverine and Jean Grey run off together, and it's so beautiful.
And his hair is next level.
Phenomenal. Like the most 90s Wolverine hair to ever 90s.
I mean, there's a double page spread of his hair that is a literal double page spread of his head and hair. And it works.
It's outstanding. So a lot of stuff like this, like I learned about so many X-Men relationships and subtext that I just had no idea. Like obviously Iceman has always been totally gay. Like, how is this not, why was this a surprise to people? Like, he just does nothing but flirt with Beast this entire storyline. And like pre-alternate history thing, like, anyway.
So this world, Magneto is kind of the Xavier.
And he has amazing hair, too. His hair is, like, down to his waist.
And
how do you maintain hair like that in a post-apocalypse world, is my question.
In general, really.
In general,
yes. I don't know how you do it. I forgot that one of my favorite things about this was the toy line. I had the action figures that came with this, and I can't remember who designed them, but it might have been Joe Madureira. But they were some of my favorite toys ever. That's just a weird side note.
No, I can see why. These character designs were amazing. Okay, so in like the fourth volume, Carol Danvers is suddenly there as like in like the alternate Carol Danvers where she's like got these wings and she's a human and she's got lots of guns and stuff. And I'm like, yes, all of this, yes.
That was in the Wolverine title, right? I think.
I read the collected thing. I don't know. Yeah. But she's interacting with Wolverine. And I was like, why is this entire storyline not just about the two of you going off and killing everything? Mm. Like, I would read that.
Yeah, I think the Summers brothers were raised by Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Who might have just been called Sinister in this world for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Havok is a real jerk. And Cyclops, I think...
Cyclops
in their series Factor X, it was what was X Factor. He has like a moral battle, I think, because right, didn't he kind of realize what they were doing maybe wasn't right, and he was trying to think
kind of and he was also like drawn to Jean Grey, and like also they took his genetics and Jean's genetics and made Cable Mate. Who wasn't Cable. And that really confused me because I don't really know a lot about Cable to begin with. Oh, but in the prologue stuff, Cable was so great. I mean, okay, Cable was so great in that Cable was doing this thing that apparently Cable does where he whines about how alone he is while like actively avoiding people who love him. And
every male Marvel superhero ever.
But there's like this really cute moment where he confesses his love to his gal pal Domino. And I was just like, this is so beautiful. Why do I care? I only met you guys like 10 pages ago. And then he's like this young little scamp in the alternate timeline who's like apparently nigh omnipotent and like able to take down Apocalypse, or like he's the savior or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I think he makes it back to the regular world after this, Nate.
Yes, I think. That was also in the thing. So I get to the end of the storyline and... we're back in the normal timeline, and it's like all of this has never happened except Bishop remembers what happens, and Xavier's like, whoa. And then all of these characters from the alternate timeline start popping up in our timeline, or their timeline. I'm getting confused. I've lived too long in this story. And they're like just there now. And I was like, listen, This is why people say X-Men is hard to get into, because it's just never ends. It's like the story's over, but we're going to keep bringing elements of it into our lives for the next 30 years.
The Nate character, Cable's history is pretty strange, but he and a clone of Jean Grey had a child.
Oh, come on.
Madeline Pryor.
Ugh.
And the baby was infected with a techno-organic virus, and there was no cure. So their only hope was to send their baby into the future, so that he could be cured in the future. Like, presumably, I think this woman said that they had the cure in the future. Let me take the baby, and it was their only hope. So I think, and then eventually Cable comes into the Marvel U, and he's not revealed as his son at that point. Later he is. And I think in the AOA, I guess Nate was never sent into the future, maybe, because for some reason Xavier's dead, so maybe the techno-organic virus never happens.
You're too deep for me right now. Wait,
I'm
so
like
what
three universes deep.
You really are. But yeah, there were dark. It's like Beast is like,
he's evil in this.
He's so evil, and it freaked me out then when I saw the movie, because I was like instantly recoiling, like, no, you're like the worst. And then remembering that Beast is not actually
you
the worst.
Alone in the theater yelling to Beast, who is a sort of professor in the school. Yeah. You're the worst.
Yeah, me alone in my Spider-Gwen hoodie eating my half-cold mozzarella sticks. Just paint that picture right now.
I'm trying to think of like what that cheese product looks like at that point when you bite through. It's just like a candy bar. And it just like is staying put in the mozz stick. So gross.
It wasn't pretty, but I needed protein, and that was my only
I'm not sure
option.
If there's protein in that.
There's cheese.
There's cheese products. I don't know if that's real cheese. You know Age of Apocalypse didn't have cheese. They had cheese products.
I don't know. I was thinking, what would Matt eat to go with this?
Probably mozz sticks. That's correct. Maybe one of those Butterfinger mini boxes.
Oh, my God. So, there was a lot that happened in Age of Apocalypse, but like with most things, I'm most drawn to the like character moments that happen. Like I was really into Gambit's storyline, because he and his team of mutants who are just like trying to do their bit in their corner of America to save it from Apocalypse I forget how, but they get put on this mission to go across the galaxy to get this crystal,
the M-Kron crystal. Probably.
Oh, I was pronouncing it Mercon. So
we have to go get the Mercon crystal. Externals.
So they go off on this quest to get this crystal that they need somehow to restore reality. There were a lot of moving pieces in this plot towards the end. There were like four different, like, we have to save everything plot lines. And Gambit's was cool because he was like, I'm just a dude. Like, why is
you
this
have to
my
do
job?
The Gambit voice. Shit.
I'm just. I'm just a dude. I don't know.
I don't know what that was.
It's more Schwarzenegger than anything.
I'm just a dude. Rogue. M-Cran.
So he and his team are going to get this crystal. He's like, why is this my problem? But like, but he's a good guy. So he realizes that like he does have to do this. And it's not like Rogue is waiting for him at home or anything, because she's married to Magneto. Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing about that is she's not only married to Magneto, but they had a kid.
Yeah.
So they've made sweet whoop together, whereas Gambit never had that chance. He could never touch his love because she would wipe his powers out.
That was so tragic. Yeah, because Magneto was like some...
I'll make some magnetic force field around your body so that we can touch each other.
Yeah, I was like...
That doesn't make any sense.
I was like, no, too gross. And three, like, why can't you just do that and then... Just like she can go off and be with whoever.
Right. Why don't Magneto stay maybe in the closet and
okay,
he
really
like wraps
now.
Magneto wraps Rogue around with his magnetic love cloth.
Ew.
Listen, if he's a friend of Gambit's, maybe it'll happen.
Oh, Gambit broke my heart in this storyline because he was being such a sweetie and just doing the right thing. And I was like, oh. Mm. I liked that Rogue got to be front and center a lot of the time.
Yeah, she led one of the X-Men teams, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. I liked that. They could have very easily have been like, no, but like you're married to Magneto and you have to stay home with the kid. But it was like, no, the nanny robot is staying behind with the kid because Rogue has to go kick some butt.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I forgot, too, that do you remember the animated series? Did you watch X-Men animated series?
Maybe like a couple.
Well, there's a character in the premiere that dies. His name was Morph. He's the guy that could like shapeshift.
He was the wackiest character in the storyline. It was like they would be in the middle of this like very grimdark situation, and all of a sudden he'd be like, "Hey, I'm a toaster now," or something like that.
Well, the weird thing about the cartoon, he wore like an X-Men costume, but he just looked like, I don't know, regular guy. He looked like French Stewart or something in an X-Men costume. He just like didn't look like a hero. All he could do was shapeshift, and he was like Wolverine's buddy. And then he gets killed by one of the Sentinels.
Oh.
And that's like a meme, I think, online where Wolverine yells out Morph's name.
Oh.
But I think he comes back, now that I am getting nostalgic, I think he comes back from the dead in one of the other seasons.
Shocking.
And one of the toys, I think, you could like switch his head, and that was his shapeshifting. Like, you just gave him a Wolverine head, and it's like Morph as Wolverine. But one of them might have been like Corpse Morph head.
That's very grim. Also, a rebirth in comics, how shocking.
What was your favorite? Now, it's interesting that you say that you didn't know if it was a Wolverine issue, but he was in it because you read the collected edition. So it's, I was going to ask, what was your favorite AOA limited series? But I guess you didn't really read it like that because
I read them all back to back. Yeah, I read like the whole thing as it was sort of chronologically. I liked the stories that involved Storm and Quicksilver working together because they had this whole like, I can't tell her that I love her. I can't tell him that I love him thing going on. And I was like, oh. So there was a lot of that. And I liked all the Gambit stuff. And like they randomly ran into these space pirates named the Starjammers, who you instantly knew what I was talking about. But I was just like, look at their costumes.
Yeah, they were really 70s. Starjammers, maybe they didn't talk about it, but their original leader, I can't remember if his name's Corsair or there's a different one, but that's Summer's father.
Oh.
He had like a big handlebar mustache. I don't remember if he's in that series or not.
It was definitely not explained at all. All I know is that all of a sudden there was like this huge page with just all the Starjammers and their leader is named Deathbird.
Oh yeah, he wasn't in it.
And she's awesome. And then my phone started auto-correcting anything that started with D to Deathbird because I typed it so much while reading that part of the story.
The Starjammer's name, I think, is really top-notch.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to beat that team name. Externals doesn't really have the same ring to it.
Starjammers, it's like, I would expect them to be
a rock band in space?
No, in the Space Jam sequel. Like, the alien team that the Looney Tunes play the next time around should be the Starjammers.
Mm-hmm.
Just my opinion.
Sure. I don't think it was shown in the versions you read, obviously, because it's hard to do that, but the Alpha oversized issue and the Omega, they had those hollow foil covers.
I don't think hollow foil works digitally.
I don't think it does either, but they were cool as a kid.
Okay.
And they were like, you could kill somebody with them. They're thick, hollow foil, metal.
I thought the Alpha and Omega issues were...
I thought those were the best ones, probably.
Really well done.
Yeah.
Well, because they got to combine all the divergent storylines as opposed to you trying to like mentally juggle what's going on in all these different books.
Yeah, I think Roger Cruz did the art on Alpha and Omega, and his art style was like really similar to Joe Madureira, who did one of the X-Men titles. I think this is the first event that I ever read that had like a beginning and an end. Like, you follow these characters for 4 months. Like with Wolverine, obviously, that was my favorite title. He and Jean Grey are together, but they separate for like the good of the universe.
I know.
And they have like a really touching goodbye. And also, failed to mention that Wolverine's missing a hand in this series. You don't know why. He's got like a metal encasing over his hand. You don't know if he still has claws or what the story is there, but...
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice he was missing a hand?
No. I was too busy focusing on his hair and the love in his heart.
Yeah, that's true. I could easily be distracted by that. But later it's revealed that I think Jean Grey was in the pens that Scott and Alex were in charge of.
Yes.
And Wolverine freed her. And in the escape, Cyclops lopped off Wolverine's hand.
Yeah.
And I think Wolverine cut his eye, and that's why he only has one eye.
Yes, that's coming back to me now.
And one of the coolest moments of the whole series was Wolverine was fighting, I can't remember their name, but they're like the team of cyborgs. I was going to say the Weavers, but the Reavers. And he's like down and out, and then he kills one of the Reavers with his hand or his arm that has the lopped off hand, but he uses his claws. So like his claws cut through the little metal casing. So he's had them the whole time, and this is like the first time he's used them. It was really awesome. Great double page spread, I think, on that one too. Yeah. Not as good as his hair, but what is.
Yeah. What Do you remember any like particular moments from this series? I mean, it was so long ago for you.
Oh, gosh. I mean, the Wolverine run is great. I loved Factor X. I think Lee Weeks might have... I think it might have been Lee Weeks on art, but I really loved that art style. It was the first time I'd ever read an X-Factor title, but it was really Factor X. And that made me care about Havoc a whole lot. There was some cool stuff with Havoc in there. The X-Men titles were cool. I think the main things... Like, you could, in theory, read X, Age of Apocalypse, Alpha, and Omega, and still get the gist. Like, the bookend issues.
The gist, but not the details, necessarily.
Sure, yeah. I don't think I ever really finished Gambit and the Externals, because at the time, I wasn't too fond of the art. I was, like, super picky as a young kid.
I was going to say, you were a very picky child, weren't you?
I mean, I'm still pretty picky.
I only have Chicken McNuggets!
I think I said that today. This one holds a real special place in my heart. This one, an Executioner song where Cable quote unquote kills Professor X and the X-Men try to find him. This one was around.
Why does everyone want to kill Professor X?
Like every major X-Men event has ever been about the near death of Professor X.
Aww.
It's like a guarantee. I think that there was a wrap up issue or a wrap up portion of X-Men Omega, or was it Prime? Was there another wrap up where they're all back to normal and they're all like coming to grips with what just happened? Do you remember that issue?
Was it the one where Bishop goes crazy and decides to start trying to kill Cyclops because he's like, how dare you, do you know what you did? And Cyclops is like, whoa.
it might be. I remember Wolverine in a tree, like, and it's raining.
That's
the one.
Yeah Wolverine was just like hiding out on like the edges of the property,
yeah,
being very moody. Animalistic. That was just like, somebody give him a hug, please. But like, maybe someone impervious to his claws.
Yeah, I loved it. It was the first major event that I remember being a part of. I think Death of Superman might have been before my time, but I thought it was a great event as a kid. Like, you read, it was an X-Men event, so if you read X-Men as a kid, it was like heaven.
It's very 90s. And obviously it's an event, so like there's a lot going on. If I hadn't promised myself that I would read all of this before seeing the movie, I probably just wouldn't have gotten through it, because it's not like something that I have nostalgia for, and it's not a storyline that I would have normally gravitated to. But while reading it, I definitely saw like why it was so resonant with so many people who had read it, because it's like, I was trying to picture, like, if I had found this story, like, when I was a kid, or if, like, this story had been presented to me in a more easily digestible format for a kid when I was a kid, I was like, yes, this is, like, so unbelievably 90s it hurts. Like, obviously everyone in the 90s would have loved this.
Yeah, so. It's a rare event nowadays where the whole event takes place in the main titles. There was no kind of tie-ins. Like, everything was the event.
Yeah.
Whereas now you get Civil War 2, and it's, well, like, you have to read all 10 of that issue.
There were...
Or that series.
There were some tie-ins. Like, I kept complaining on Twitter about how I was like, well, where are the other heroes? Like, this is just talking about the mutants, and I find it very difficult to believe that Captain America would just be ignoring this. So, like, what's going on? And they did have a couple issues that did address that I don't think were part of the main event, but they like name drop some characters to be like, look, Tony Stark is like sending relief aid to Wakanda, it's totally fine. I'm like, what about everyone else? What is
everyone
doing?
Maybe they
doing?
Don't exist without Professor X. That's how touching he was to people's lives.
Aw.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else about that series.
I could just talk about Cyclops' hair for days. It's like,
he's a good looking man.
It was just a very redeeming factor. Although I was also like,
he had a beard too, didn't he?
Yeah, but I'm like, just tie it back. It's just gonna get in your face and cover your eye that you need to like shoot things with. This is so impractical.
Yeah, it didn't make that many sense. He has one eye. Why let your hair flow that freely?
Yeah, I don't know. This is my argument with lots of women superheroes too. Like, they have these long flowing locks, and unless you're Medusa, I'm like, you can't actually control that. You should probably tie that up with an elastic or something. A lot of my tweets were about Cyclops's hair.
Should we venture into
pivot to the film? So X-Men Apocalypse only borrows the bad dude and the concept of the Four Horsemen, and that's it. That's the only thing it took from Age of Apocalypse. So I'm sitting there in the theater, and halfway through, and I'm like, Oh.
You're probably thinking, who told me that Age of Apocalypse was the source material for this movie?
So what I thought was interesting was how this movie really, instead of lifting the storyline from the comics, was very conscious of the previous movies leading up to this one, and trying to make the storyline make sense based on what had already happened before in this X-Men film universe. And I just, after I got over my initial, like, Beast is evil, oh my God, reaction, I was like, you're still the cutest thing here. Oh! And his, like, unrequited love for Mystique is so precious in this movie. And it's just like every time they have an interaction, he just looks at her soulfully. I'm like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, it was... I did see it as well last night. I went to the theater by myself. I didn't have Mott sticks, unfortunately.
Aw.
I liked the Jean Grey storyline.
Okay. So my thing with this movie is that it had like really cool special effects and stuff. And there were some really great character moments that I thought should have been character arcs. Hmm. So like Jean Grey, Xavier is trying to battle Apocalypse in his mind. Right. And he's like asking Jean for help. And that scene was like so drawn out because she was just like sitting there staring at him for what felt like a century. I'm like, Jean, just help him. Like, just like he doesn't even need to ask you. You should help him. And I felt like earlier in the movie when she was on the Xavier campus and like really talking Scott Summers to Cyclops for the first time. And he thought like the kids were afraid of him. And he's like, it's okay, guys. I've got glasses now. And then Jean's like, it's not you they're afraid of. It's me. And they never really explored how she was afraid of herself, which is where I think that hesitation at the end of the film was supposed to come from. And I think if they had explored that more and like talking about how she sensed this power in her and it made her really afraid, like beyond just like her nightmare dream sequence, just like confiding to someone besides the professor about how she really struggled with this in her own development. And then that would have explained why later she was really hesitant to, like, let go.
Or even if there's, like, a glass of milk falling in slow motion off the table and she was, like, too scared to, like, use her powers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, something like that to show that this was, a deep psychological block that she had that she needed to work through.
Because she even used her powers in the beginning to, like, hold 30 sheets of paper in midair.
Yeah.
So, like, how scared is she, really?
Right. So I did want to see more of that. I thought Nightcrawler was so adorable and
Thriller jacket that he was wearing.
It was so good. He looked like he leapt right out of the comic book and into my heart. And
I wish the Four Horsemen had more
to do.
Just like different costumes. I felt like they were a little too generic. Like Psylocke had what essentially was her original costume, but everyone else got this generic gray and black jumpsuit.
Before I saw the film, I had seen a lot of people online talking about Storm. And how, once again, Storm was underutilized as a character. And when the movie opened, I was like, what are they talking about? This whole thing is about Storm. But that was only for, like, the first few minutes of the movie. And I did want to see more of her. But I did like how they took things from that intro scene and then brought it full circle in her last scene, where she really had to, like, reconcile her excitement at having this newfound power and finally not feeling helpless with facing the choices that Mystique was making, who she had looked up to for so long as like a mutant who was not afraid to be who she was.
What she was like, well, obviously if you're still listening, you should expect spoilers by this point, but at the end she's welcomed into the X-Men, but they're not really under mind control of being horsemen. It's kind of their own decision, right?
Yeah.
But she like willingly just watched Apocalypse murder like hundreds of people. Like, let's slow down before we let Storm in and the X-Men here.
Okay. Yes, but also, because I struggled with this, because I know that it's Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse, and, like, I knew that, and, like, they even showed his face before it became blue and stuff because of power transference things. With his fish lips. And, like, even after he transforms to, like, this big blue mass with, like, lots of prosthetics and stuff, like, whenever he was talking to someone, I was like, yes, like, him and Ultron should have, like, a sultry voice off from these films. Like, really? So when he was talking to people, I was like, you've got this charismatic leader thing going on. Of course people are going to want to follow you if you throw in a little of like your power mojo stuff. And it's just like, yes, join me and we will make the world a better place for mutants. Because he's not totally upfront with Storm. He's just like, in his mind, he's like, we will cleanse the world. And then outwardly to her, he's like, we're going to make it a better place. So if you're like a young mutant kid in Cairo and you're stealing in order to eat, and this dude with a very sultry voice comes up to you and is like, I will like give you this power, we'll make the world a better place. Like, yes, okay, obviously you should run away, but this is a movie verse, so she didn't. Like, that would be very appealing to be like, here's this power that I'm unlocking inside of you, and I just need you to like follow me and help me accomplish my stuff.
I didn't think his voice was that sultry. And I know his voice normally is. And I had a feeling that even though if they did this and it didn't work, nerds would have hated it. But I almost would have wanted them to just have Oscar Isaac just as himself. Because he's so charismatic. Why not just have Oscar Isaac wearing maybe like a blue cloak and talking to Storm as like charming Oscar Isaac and be like, we need to change it up here. We need to cleanse this planet. So like, I'm like, okay, this guy, you know, he's sexy and charming. I'm going to follow this guy. I would have done it. But instead you have like Oscar Isaac wearing
blue
this
Oscar
getup
Isaac
and doing the voice where like, I'm just in my head. Like, I would never follow you to a water fountain, let alone anywhere else. And so like, if they had done that, I feel like comic fans would be like, oh, put him in the costume. And I feel like they did. And I would have preferred a different route.
But I wanted Psylocke to have more to do, and also Angel. I felt like they were just kind of like, they had cool openings.
Yeah.
And then they never really explored things like I recently found out through reading all these comics that Psylocke has like, telekinetic powers, or like
she's got a whole lot going on.
Right. But they only really focus on like the energy blades she can make with her hands. I'm like, whoa, talk about underutilized. Mm-hmm. And she kind of slinks off at the end. So maybe she'll come back, but I'm still like, okay.
We're running out of tape.
No, I know, but my question is, why don't they, instead of doing the X-Men movies, have an X-Men TV show?
I think there are rumors that they might.
Okay, because I feel like these long storylines would work better in the format of a TV show. Like, the X-Men costumes and stuff don't necessarily need a really amazing FX budget. Mm-hmm. Like, they can make it work and get in all of the character development moments that make this series so well loved by fans, which is just reminding me of my favorite moment from the movie that I thought was going to be my least favorite moment of the movie, where inevitably Wolverine shows up and you're like, again, we know. But after he goes all like Weapon X on all the bad dudes at the secret government facility, and he's like trying to run away into the wild, and then Jean Grey like walks up to him and like soothes the savage beast. Mm-hmm. And they have this moment, and my first gut reaction was, oh God, he's old enough to be her father. And then I couldn't look away, because just like the look that they shared, there was so much chemistry. And I was just like, all of this forever. Yes, I'm so ready for another Wolverine movie if this is what it's going to be about. It won't happen.
No,
but
I think the my thought for the next Wolverine movie is I have a feeling that it'll be in the future. And it'll be like Old Man Logan, where he has a family and something bad happens. Because I think that's what they're...
Oh, that was the thing that I hated the most about this movie, is Magneto's just like off minding his own business. And then the villagers realize he's a mutant and freak out and fridge his wife and daughter.
The wife died too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
With the same arrow. And I'm like, oh, come on. So that made me really upset.
He saves someone's life in this metal factory.
And then he goes in with the purpose of like, with the intent to like kill everyone in it. And I was like, I'm really conflicted with what they're trying to do with Magneto. Cause I feel like they're like, oh, he's a bad guy. We have to have him do bad stuff. But also he's an emotionally complex character who's like obviously in love with Professor X. So we need to let him be a good guy too. And I just want them to pick something.
But even if you're, let's say you're in this factory and someone almost gets crushed by a big metal thing, but it hovers there and they're saved. Why would you tell the cops that this vigilante murderer is here and you should get him? He just saved someone's life and could have easily killed everyone there. Why would you open your mouth?
Yeah, people do crazy things when they're afraid.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Ooh, this is reminding me. I actually don't hate Cyclops in this movie. I think this is the first time I've actively not hated Cyclops just for existing.
Yeah, his character was actually very different, or he was, or maybe this isn't
because he's
so
a
much.
Kid.
He
he's
was
not
down
like
on himself a lot.
No, but he's not like Cyclops that we see most usually is like the leader dude who's just very like straight backed and swaggery shoulders and leading the X-Men. And this Scott Summers was like just learning about his powers and still getting used to it. He just wanted to help. And I was like, oh, you just want to help. This is so cute. But as soon as he starts having any kind of like authority in his voice, I'll just be like, no.
Yeah, I'd like a lot to see another X-Men movie with, you know, the Cyclops, Jean Grey, Quicksilver, Beast, and Nightcrawler.
Oh, this movie should absolutely have been a Quicksilver movie. Hmm. I mean, his scene was phenomenal, just like it was for the last movie.
Yeah, I'd love to see it just in a different locale, maybe like, you know, not just total destruction, maybe put it in the Savage Land or something. Or could take him out in space, who knows? Maybe with a different director.
Outer space.
Starjammers.
Oh, moment of silence for Havoc. That was so unnecessary.
But we do need to wrap up. The batteries on our recorder are dangerously low. What are your? Do you have any final moments that you wanted to bring up from the movie?
Moira McTaggart deserves better forever, the end. I just Xavier's such a jerk. He's like, I wiped her mind, but I still think of her often from afar. And Beast is like, okay, like, I guess go see her. That's totally normal and not creepy at all. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, gives her her memories back so she remembers everything that happened in X-Men First Class. And instead of like hitting him and getting a restraining order like a normal person, she just like started looking at him with tears in her eyes. And I'm like, no, he violated you.
That's,
go away.
That's love. Ugh. You know who else did that to someone's memories? Hermione.
Oh my God. Should have seen that one coming.
Hermione should be a war criminal
for
doing
man.
That to her parents.
Oh, I walked right into that one. But
she's
yeah.
a terrible person, Hermione.
Anyway, so Age of Apocalypse, long read, worth it if you are a fan of the X-Men or the 90s or are willing to go through a lot of plot stuff in order to get to good character stuff.
I wonder what the next big event will have you read and then talk about. We'll have to see. Maybe some of our friends the show has some ideas. Maybe they'll pitch you some ideas. You just made a terrified face.
Oh, I think I need to read some one-offs for a while before diving back into like 1,500 pages.
Okay. There you have it. Yeah. Great job reading. I didn't think you could do it. It's a lot to read.
I got through
a lot
it.
To read.
It was beautiful. I'm so glad I saw
just that
much
you
hair.
Were finished, it was beautiful, or the overall journey?
The overall journey. It was good. It was fun getting to interact with people as I was tweeting. Mm-hmm. My reading experience. Yeah, I just keep thinking about that scene in X-Men Apocalypse where Jean and Logan are staring into each other's faces, and I just want all of that forever. The end.
Maybe we will get it in the future. Who knows?
Maybe we will.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. Whoa.